I was saying titties.
Okay. I was like, that's not a cuss word.
It's fun to say.
It is fun to say.
Welcome to Paige and Pixel Podcast.
Imagine this is somebody's first episode. They just stumble.
I hope this is their introduction to me, Pixel.
I'm Paige.
And before we dive into our book episode today, I do have a few corrections from our last episode on Resident Evil 9 Requiem. We're going to do rapid fire corrections just to get this out of the way. One, Grace, not actually in a previous game.
Oh.
Her mom was the one that was in Resident Evil Outbreak. But also, I was wrong about what Resident Evil Outbreak is. So I had said that it was like one of those arcade style, like pew, pew, pew. You each have like a gun controller.
Uh-huh.
Resident Evil does make two games like that.
But they're not Outbreak.
No. Outbreak was a multiplayer game. So like you have like a party of four people, so you can play with three other people or you can play alone if you don't have any friends like you. So.
This is me finding out that Pixel does not consider us friends. So that's cool.
Joking. I'm introducing all the new people that have flooded to the podcast today. They're getting a crash course in who Pixel is. The only other correction is that Leon is not the one with the one-liner comparing the underage boobs to ballistic missiles. That is his buddy, Luis, who... Leon pronounces Lewis.
Oh no.
So yeah, if any of you listening at home, if you have ever have any corrections in the future, please keep them to yourself. I'm only doing this now because these came from my husband and he does that thing with his tongue that I like. So without further ado.
I learn so much more about y'all's relationship than I've ever wanted to.
You don't even know, babe.
I don't want to know. That's fine. Keep it that way. I would appreciate.
Listen, you have a book to tell us about. And it's just adapted into
a
film, correct?
We are doing Project Hail Mary by popular demand. And by popular demand, I mean one person.
More than one.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure there are people listening. I know there are a few people that listen to the podcast that have wanted to hear it,
okay.
Even if they didn't tell you.
Okay, cool, cool. Well, I'm glad that I can deliver this to you. Hopefully, you are okay with everything that I say. If you're not, keep it to yourself. Also, I forget like plot points in stories very, very quickly. So I definitely had to like have a summary open and like read it to like jog my memory for my plot summary, because I can't remember anything.
You don't need to let the people know your weakness. They can't see. See, this is an audio medium. They can't see the open laptop. Like, you can be full transparency, but they
do they not realize that I have something written down? Because, like, I would not memorize all this.
Now they know.
I have a laptop.
They know now, Paige.
I'm sure they all do. It's okay. All right. It's time. The moment you've all been waiting for, we're talking about Project Hail Mary. I know I just said that, but that's what I wrote in my notes, and I wanted to say it. So, obviously, to preface, I am going to be talking about the book, but I do have a little bitty section at the end where I give some quick thoughts on the movie as well, because it just came out. So, without further ado, let's get lit.
God, that's so good.
Like, yeah, I know.
Like, I'm literature and lit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's such a
I wanted to name our book club page at work Let's Get Lit, but HR told me I couldn't, so we're doing it here.
Yes. That's so good.
Yeah, so I'm getting a catchphrase too. Heyo. So first of all, I listened to the audiobook for this book, and It is by far the best audiobook performance I have ever heard. If you want to read this book, it's okay if you want to have a copy of the physical book, but for the love of God, get the audiobook. I know it's on Audible, and I know fuck Amazon, but just wait for like one of those 99 cent sales so that they're losing money. I promise it's worth it. It's that good. I believe the author, or not the author, the narrator is Ray Porter. Phenomenal. Best voice actor I've ever heard.
Cool.
Anyway, this book hits the ground running. This man is waking up from a coma. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know who he is. He has no idea what's going on. All he knows is he's opened his eyes. There's a computer talking to him. There's a robot arm doing medical things. And he's in this white room. That's it. And so it's like, oh, okay. And like, we as the audience know, like, okay, he's in space. Because
obviously,
you know, it's a space book. But he is like, gets out of all of this stuff. It's actually like kind of a funny like turn of events to get out of his, I don't know, this bed that he's essentially strapped in.
Medical robot bed.
Yeah. And he is like, you know, now he's like, oh, this feels weird. Gravity doesn't feel normal. So he goes through all of these experiments and arrives at the conclusion that he is in space.
Which is new to him. Like when he went, like last memory he has before, he has no memory.
He remembers nothing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, he has like unconscious, like he remembers, obviously he remembers how to do science. Like these are like subconscious things that he knows how to do, but he has no memory of any events.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they begin to come back to him as the story. So the story is present day, and then it does flashbacks as we learn what the events were leading up to him being in space. He remembers that his name is Ryland Grace, and he is a middle school science teacher.
So not prepared for...
Well, hold on.
Or super prepared.
No. Well, we'll see. So we learn that Earth is facing this problem. The sun is getting dimmer.
Oh.
And that's not a good thing.
No.
So a scientist figures out that there's this like infrared line that is going from the sun to Venus. They call it the Petrova line because the person who discovered it, its last name is Petrova. And they send like a probe up there to gather samples, and there's like a camera, and the preliminary like video is showing like all these little black dots moving around. And so people are like, what are those?
Wiggity.
Woman named Eva Stratt, this woman has basically been given permission to do anything by any means to solve this issue.
Eva like, Stratt. Oh, I thought you said strap. So sorry. Anything by any means. Keep going.
Yeah, anything. So she is in charge. She has immunity. Like, she can tell the countries to do whatever they want. By the way, the most, I had to suspend belief. The most belief I had to suspend was that anyone in the world would work together to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Because as we know now, well, I mean, we probably knew when this book was written in 2021. It wasn't that long ago.
No.
But,
Hot off the heels of COVID.
Yeah.
Who knew about?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, she enlists Ryland Grace to help figure out what these things are. And you might be asking yourself, why in the hell is she asking a middle school science teacher to help with this?
Right. They're better at cooking math.
Yeah. Only if they have cancer, though, and he doesn't have cancer, so. Well, turns out he is a disgraced extraterrestrial biologist.
Hell yeah, he is. What did he do?
He got
like an alien. What did he do?
No, he wrote a paper that basically goes against everything we know about life, that life needs water. That is like a, he said, no, it doesn't. He said life on Earth needs water, but we don't actually know if all life needs water.
That seems like kind of common sense to me in a way. Like, it doesn't seem that far outside of the realm of possibility.
Yes. Well, it's like an understood truth or understood in science that for life to exist, there needs to be water.
But science is about questions, not answers. I'm sorry.
True, continue. True. So this guy writes a paper, though, saying that life does not need water. And so this is why they have come to him, because Strat is like, they live on the surface of the sun.
So clearly.
So they probably don't need water. Or, you know, so you might have the chance to, like, basically give the entire science community the middle finger.
Yes.
Grace discovers that these are in fact tiny cells that are extraterrestrial life. We have made first contact. It is tiny little things, black dots, but
like the little dust bunnies from the Miyazaki cartoons. Is it like them?
They're much, much smaller. But
like them.
But yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're gonna say. They essentially, what happens is they take the energy from the sun and they propel themselves over to Venus, because Venus has a lot of carbon in its atmosphere, and carbon is what they need to reproduce. So then they go to Venus, they reproduce, and then they go back to the sun and they start back over again. Sadly, we do figure out that their chemical makeup does include water. So,
oh dang.
So that's a little bit of a bummer, and but that's okay. So they figure out that, like, not only is our sun, our star, being affected by this, there are tons of stars all over our vicinity in space that are infected by this astrophage, and they are all also
star eater.
Yeah. So but there is one planet that, oh wait, hold on, we don't know that yet.
Oh.
I'm getting ahead of myself. So we get back to present day. We find out that Grace's ship, the Hail Mary, is heading toward a star named Tau Ceti. It is not affected by the astrophage that is traveling between it and another planet.
Okay.
So he deduces, okay, we're here to study the star and figure out why is it that if astrophage are here, this star is not dimming.
Yep.
Cool. Did I say that it was called astrophage?
You sure did.
Okay.
And then I said star eater.
Yes.
That's what that means.
Yes. Sorry. My brain.
I know code languages.
So he kind of is like, okay, I figured out why I'm here. I don't remember what's going on, but I might as well get to work type of thing. He hasn't been working very long. He's just kind of starting to find the Petrova line that is attached to this star. When he sees in his like view thing screen this like black spot getting in the way of seeing his infrared light.
Okay.
He comes to realize that the black blob is in fact another spaceship.
Okay.
Uh-huh. With an alien on it.
Yeah.
So they go through a series of passing back little metal tubes in between the ships.
Neat.
Basically like, hey, I'm here. This is my planet. It's being affected by astrophage. And Grace is like, yeah, me too.
What are you wearing?
So the next step that this alien takes is to attach, like, basically a tunnel thing from his ship. He builds it over to the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And he puts up a, like, a barrier in between the two, and they, like, go through this thing to figure out what's the best one that he, that Grace can, like, see through or whatever. Okay. It's, like, kind of complicated, but that way it's a wall, but it's clear and he can see through.
Okay.
The reason they have to do that is because the alien's atmosphere is super, 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 super hot and also basically made up of, like, super pressurized ammonia.
Oh, not good
so, for like, Grace. Not good for human.
Yeah.
He sees this alien for the first time, and it basically looked like a spider, but made out of rocks.
Cool.
Uh-huh. So he doesn't have, like, a face.
Okay.
Or anything.
What's he talking?
I don't know. I don't remember what they said he talks out of, but, he names this alien Rocky. Obviously.
Cool. What a middle school science teacher thing to name an alien.
Rocky is from the planet Arid.
On the nose, but okay, yeah. Let's take it.
Aridians see using sonar.
Okay.
And the language that they speak is made up of, like, musical chords.
Like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I've not seen that.
Boo, 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 boo.
That's yeah, kind of. Yeah, kind of. So Grace comes up with a way to, like, translate what Rocky is saying by, like, recording the sound and then figuring out what the word in English is. And so, like, it kind of makes, like, it records and then it tells him what it's saying or whatever. Rocky doesn't need any help with translation because Aridians are super smart and basically have, like, and whatever, like, an eidetic memory or a photographic memory, like, just okay. Like they can remember all these things.
Okay. Sure.
Rocky was the engineer on this ship and can basically fix or build anything with this metal and it's made out of xenon, which is a gas.
Yep, sure.
But they have figured out they have figured out how to make it solid somehow. And
it's
so
really hot too. So like, that's another layer of like,
yeah, it's very, yes. Yeah. So, but this is what they use to pretty much make anything, and they can make it clear. They can make it smooth. They can make it rough. They can make like, it's like, this is what they use to build everything.
Okay.
So
like plastic here.
Yeah. Kind of. So Rocky builds a ball thing. It kind of looks like a dodecahedron.
Yeah.
That he gets inside of and he gets this life support and he decides he's gonna live in the Project Hail Mary. And he rolls himself and like they take a tour and he's like, I want to see the science room, and he loves the science room, and he's like, I'm gonna build a bunch of tunnels and stuff here and live in them so that I can be here, and it's faster than keeping the tunnel attached. Cool, awesome.
I love him already.
Yes. So we get some more flashbacks during this time where we learn that astrophage is like a super good source of fuel, because essentially the reason why they are able to have water is because their temperature, like they maintain a temperature at like 94.7 degrees, I think, something like that. But like, it's because they take the energy and they immediately expel it. And that's how they move. So they like expel the energy in their move. So
okay,
toot to scoot, basically.
Toot to scoot.
That is the line in the movie. So they create a ton of energy in a very small with a very small amount. So they're going to use astrophage. They've figured out how to breed it. They're going to use astrophage to power the Project Hail Mary, the ship that he's now on, to go to Tau Ceti and figure out what's going on. But they're only able to make enough astrophage to get them out there. There is not enough fuel for the ship to return. This is a suicide mission. They plan to put the astronauts in a coma, and they need like very specific people with a gene that like makes them more likely to survive a long-term coma.
Sure.
It's like a whole sciencey thing that they go through, but I'm not going to go into that too deep. And so they're like on the search for these people. So we flash back to the present. We learn that Rocky actually had, I think, like 23 other people on the crew with them, and they all died.
Oh,
I totally forgot. Grace had a crew too. They died.
Oh,
so
good.
They're both out here alone.
So might as well be a suicide mission.
Right. It's basically ends up, they figure out it's because Rockies, they are like very advanced in some ways, but there's a lot of things that they don't know. They don't know anything about radiation. And that's how all of these people died, because there was no radiation protection on this ship.
Okay.
They also don't understand like relativity and time dilation.
Okay.
So like, cause Rocky's super confused. He's like, we set up all this time to travel here, but it only took us this little bit of time. And we have all this, like, it's like this wild thing. So they figure out like, he doesn't understand.
He didn't have an Einstein on his
head. Yeah. So,
Either otherwise.
So, Grace eventually then tells Rocky that he cannot go home, that he's going to die out here because he doesn't have enough fuel. But Rocky's like, well, I have a ton of extra fuel because it took us way less time to get here than we thought.
Ding, 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 ding.
So there's a bit of hope there. It's a nice tender little moment. So they figure out the planet that Tau Ceti, like how Tau Ceti, the line goes from them to another planet. They figure out what planet it is. And they're like, okay, we're going to go there. And we're going to see what's up with this planet. Why are the astrophage going to that planet? So they travel to this planet, and they name it after Rocky's mate, or essentially what Grace decides Rocky's mate in human is, and names it Adrian. So Rocky and Adrian, super cute.
That's so good.
So they are able to like go out and they get a sample of what's in the Petrova line, and they discover that there is not just astrophage in this Petrova line. There is all kinds of life. So they come to the conclusion that Adrian is, in fact, the home planet of astrophage. Yes. And the reason why the star is not dimming is because the population is being controlled because they have a natural predator. That is why Tau Ceti is not dimming. Yay, they figure it out. Now they have to figure out, what is this predator and how can we use it? We get a bit more flashback. We meet the two crews. There's a primary and a secondary crew for the Hail Mary in case something happens. So the first one, they have a backup. And Grace is tasked with training both of the scientists. It's actually kind of funny. The two scientists start hooking up. It's like a whole thing. And they insist on telling Grace everything about it. And it's really funny.
She's like, please don't.
He's like, no, thank you. We come back to the present, where they have come up with a plan to try to find, figure out the predator. They can't find it in the samples that they collected from the line. So they're like, okay, we have to go into this planet's atmosphere, which is like not good because gravity. But they figure out this plan. They're going to drop. They're going to go just into the like atmosphere, and they're going to drop this super long chain with like the probe or whatever at the end, and then it's going to wind back up and get this.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. During the mission, because one of the fuel tanks becomes damaged, and so all of the astrophage leak out, and because that is the rocket fuel, it starts like greatly increasing their gravity on the inside of the the ship. When he gets back in, they're able to get rid, like to like eject that fuel tank, but then losing all that energy then like causes them to spin, and so then there's all this what is it called, centrifugal force,
mm-hmm.
And it's essentially like crushing them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So this is, it's like a pretty intense like moment. But Grace is like about to be crushed. He like can't breathe. He's gonna pass out. And like the last thing he sees is Rocky getting out of his ball to save Grace. So Grace comes to, he gets the ship under control. He's like trying to carry Rocky back to like his own atmosphere. Rocky's like 300 pounds.
Yeah,
he's also super hot because, you know, and so he gets Rocky back to where he's going before he passes out again from his own injuries. And when he wakes up, Rocky is not moving, but they're not sure. He's not sure if he is dead or just sleeping, because I guess when these Iridians sleep, like they cannot move. They literally, there's like a whole thing, like they have to watch each other sleep. This is like a thing in Iridian culture.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
So all he can do, all Grace can do is wait. And so he's like, okay, I might as well start doing these experiments. Like, if Rocky did die, I can't, you know, let that be for nothing. Right. So he begins the experiments to try to find the predator. And then he also is like making repairs to the ship. During this time, we get another flashback where they talk about how Grace is asking the primary crew how they would like to die. One person wants to die by nitrogen asphyxiation, essentially.
Sure.
Her name is Iliukna. She wants to do heroin. She's like,
that's what I always say if people ask me how I want to die, if I'm ever like diagnosed with a terminal illness.
Yeah, she wants to just experience
absolutely
heroin and then eventually overdose from it.
Me too, girl.
And then the last guy's like, I will just take a gun, and in case the other two don't die the way that they want to, I'll take care of it. Boy. That he's the captain. He was the captain who said that.
Right.
So back to the present. Rocky wakes up. Rocky is alive.
Phew.
And he's able to help Grace with the experiments. And they start doing all their experiment stuff, sciencey stuff.
Science.
We get another flashback, and it starts with Grace. He's like wondering, like, how did I become so important in this? This is super weird. Why am I so important in this mission? And then there is an explosion on the compound where they are training. The building where both the scientists were working was completely decimated, and the scientists are dead.
Okay, so that's how
the
C string
The mission now needs a new scientist. Okay, yeah, we can see where this is going. Back in the present, Rocky and Grace are able to find an amoeba-like organism, which they may name Taumoeba, which is Astrophage's natural predator.
Nice.
They're trying to test to see if these Taumoeba can exist in the atmospheres of the planets where the astrophage is.
Okay.
In our solar system and then Rocky's solar system. They start getting that experiment ready, and then all of a sudden, the power goes out on the Hail Mary. Come to find out, somehow in all of the hullabaloo of what happened during the retrieval process, some of the Taumoeba escaped, got into the fuel lines, and ate every last drop of fuel.
Oh, geez.
So they're a little bit stuck in space. So that's super great. Yes.
Problem.
So they figured out the generators aren't working. Grace is freaking out, and Rocky is basically like, "You need to sleep because you haven't slept in days and you're exhausted. And so I'm going to fix the generator." So that's what he does. Now they need to get back to Rocky's ship because remember, Rocky mm-hmm. has a ton of fuel. Mm-hmm. They just have to get back there. Luckily, there are on board these little tiny spaceship-like things that they call beetles. This is basically what was tasked with after they figured out, they put all the information in it, and those are what would go back to Earth.
Okay.
So those have astrophage in them, and they were not affected by this Taumoeba.
Okay.
So essentially, he has to go out and, like, attach them to the ship, and then they use those to, like, slowly...
Okay.
Hoppity hippity hop their way back to Rocky's ship.
Sure.
So awesome. Once they get back to once they get that all set up, they go and check on these Taumoeba to see how they're doing in the other atmospheres, and these Taumoeba are all dead. They are not surviving. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they are like the one and only creature in the universe that they have discovered that doesn't like nitrogen.
We love that shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Super weird, but you know, there's nitrogen everywhere.
No, so, that sucks. That's so bad. What are we doing?
So that's great. We get another flashback after that. Where it's revealed that there was a mix-up with the amount of astrophage that was given to the scientists, and when they attempted to use it, it exploded. That's what happened. Because there was, like, they were like, is it terrorists? Wasn't terrorists.
It's a terrorist.
Like, that was part of the thing.
I hate it here.
So there is, they basically come to the conclusion there is no time. It's only a few days before the launch. There is no time to train a new scientist. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be Grace. And Grace says, I need to think about it. So he takes some time. And then after a few hours, he goes, finds Strat, and says, no, I cannot go on this mission.
Ooh, voila.
So they get into a big argument, and Strat basically is like, dude, you're a coward. You can't go on this mission. You're using your staying behind for your children as a scapegoat. You wouldn't stick up for yourself when you had this research paper and you just left. Like, she's basically just like, you are a coward. You will not stand up for yourself, essentially. But Strat is not a coward. Strat is willing to do, as we said before, absolutely anything to make sure that this mission gets accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So she drugs him.
Yep.
And sticks him in a cell.
Yep.
They're gonna put him into the coma before he gets on board. And they're going to give him a amnesia inducing drug.
So he's not mad at anybody so, when he wakes up.
Yes. And yeah. So they, after that is revealed, they flash back to present day. And Grace is obviously very upset. Uh-huh. But I mean, what's he going to do now? He's already there.
True.
But they've come up with a solution, or try what possible solution to the Taumiba not being able to live in nitrogen. Essentially, they are going to breed the nitrogen, like, or not the nitrogen, the Taumiba, the few who survive, they're going to mate them and breed them and then put them in a little bit more and basically
force evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Essentially. So that's what they're going to do. They are, while that is happening, while the Taumiba are breeding, they have to like clean out the entire ship using nitrogen, which is like, it's a good thing that that one guy wanted to die by nitrogen asphyxiation, because now they have tons of nitrogen to kill all these Taumiba. But he like tries to clean them out, but like some of them aren't getting all clean. Like they test them and like the astrophage are still dying. And so eventually they just detach them and Rocky builds new ones because Rocky can do anything. Mm-hmm. He's freaking awesome. And so they attach those. They are able to breed the Taumiba to be strong enough to withstand the new atmospheres. So they have found the solution to the astrophage mission complete.
Yeah.
And they celebrate. Rocky, by putting on super fun, like, ceremonial accoutrement.
Yeah.
And Grace by getting drunk on vodka.
Just imagining, like, a tuxedo with, like, 8 sleeves.
No. It's like almost a jewelry type thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, the drip.
Yes.
The drip,
yes.
On that Rocky.
Yeah. Rocky is, he's working it. they build life support systems to keep the Taumiba alive, and then it is time to say goodbye. They each give each other a parting gift. Rocky gets a laptop because he wants, these laptops have essentially every single thing we know about everything in all of human history.
Sick.
On this computer. That is how they like designed it, so that because they didn't have time to like figure out what do you think they're going to need and not need. So they were just like,
everything,
literally put everything on it. So
put it on there.
Probably.
Yeah. That wasn't even a joke.
Yeah. I mean, you never know what somebody might need all alone in space. It's fantastic. So, and then Grace, or Rocky gives Grace a sample of xenonite so that he can try to take it back to Earth, because this stuff is like, yeah, indestructible.
Yeah.
Like life-changing stuff. And then they say goodbye. Rocky goes back to his ship and they go their separate ways. Mm-hmm. It's super sad. Because, like, they're never going to see each other again. Like, there's not technology for them to travel to see each other or whatever. So sad. Seriously, I was, like, tearing up. It was very sad. Mm-hmm. We get one more flashback while after Grace takes off of Strat visiting Grace in his holding cell, where she basically is, like, she was, like, I'm not doing this because I don't like you. I'm doing this because I need this to survive. Like, at the best case, like, humanity, I think, has like 20-ish more years or something. But she was like, we all know the best case isn't going to happen.
Right.
The people who have food are going to hoard those resources, and the people with the big armies are going to attack those places. And yeah. So war and famine and yep. All, like, shit's gonna go down fast.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm sorry, but I cannot. This whole book is basically just a bunch of, what is that? Trolley problems.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's all. This is. It's like, what if the trolley problem happened in real life, and in space? So we flash back and he's trying to figure out like what he's going to say, but he's kind of like, am I going to say it or not? I don't know. He's like, I'm going to give Strat what for though. But we get back and Grace is like working, getting the Beatles ready to launch again, just in case something they need to be launched out or whatever. And he finds that the Taumiba have gotten loose again and have eaten the astrophage from the Beatles. Okay. Why? How? How did they get loose? What did we do? So he turns off the engines, he disinfects the ship, he basically just fills the whole ship with nitrogen while he's in like an EV suit. So he tries to figure out what happened. He eventually discovers that while they were breeding the Taumiba, they were doing so in xenonite containers. And the Taumiba basically evolved to figure out how to permeate.
So, like the impenetrable.
Yes.
These fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. So he realizes he can move all the Taumiba to like an epoxy container or a plastic container. Those are going to be fine.
That's so funny. That's so fucking fun. It's like,
yeah.
Throw in some Tupperware.
Yeah. Well, they have to be like sealed, like, but he realizes that Rocky does not have plastic. Rocky's entire ship is made out of xenonite. So Rocky, he's like, all of that is gone and Rocky is going to be sitting dead in space. And he kind of has this moment where he has to decide, am I going to go home and leave Rocky? He lives a lot longer than me. Maybe somebody will find him. Or am I going to go and rescue my friend? He doesn't have enough food. He barely has enough food to last. So if he goes back for Rocky, he will definitely not have enough food. Mm-hmm. So like he is going to die. Mm-hmm. He is back to suicide mission. Now, obviously, Grace has grown as a character,
mm-hmm.
and Grace goes and saves his friend.
Not a coward no more.
And it's actually actually this heartbreaking thing of like, but he was so close. And like, he sends the Beatles out, so the information is still going to Earth, but he's just not going to Earth.
Yeah.
He gets back, he finds Rocky's ship. He essentially like tethers himself to the Hail Mary in his EV suit and then like launches himself at the other ship so that Rocky can hear him. Rocky is able to make a new tunnel between the ships, and Grace is going to take Rocky back to Arid. But he tells Rocky, you know, I'm going to take you back to Arid, but I'm going to be stuck out here until I die. And Rocky is like, absolutely not. You are not going to do that. We are going to figure something out. He essentially suggests that Grace eat the Taumiba.
Okay.
So I think that's what he does. I think that's what he does for a little bit. But they take him, like, Rocky goes back to Arid, tells Arid, this is like the last chapter of the book. Rocky went back to Arid. Told all of the Iridians what was happening, how Grace saved them, how he came back for Rocky, all this stuff. And literally all of the Iridians, they do this thing, I think it was called like the Thrum or something like that. They literally all come, it's like a mind meld, and they work out a problem together.
Oh, cool.
So the entire planet gets together to figure out how to save Grace.
Oh.
And they end up building him a big dome, and they've got like sun lamps and stuff to like mimic the light of day, and they make the temperature right and all of this stuff, and like basically build him a home on Arid. His body ages a little bit quicker because of like the pressure and the gravity, like they can't change that. But it flashes forward a few years. Mm-hmm. Grace has been living on Arid, seemingly happy. Iridians, to feed him, they started by making like nutritional shakes. But they are eventually through because they now have all of this human knowledge and technology, they are able to clone Grace's muscle.
Oh.
And that's how he eats meat. He eats his own, he's like, I eat knee burgers.
Oh.
But it's like kind of like after years of drinking just nutritional shakes, he was like, I don't care. I will eat it because it tastes like meat. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So super weird. But I mean,
yeah.
That's wild.
Yep.
Anyway.
okay.
So Rocky, in the last chapter, Rocky comes to visit him to tell him that they have been observing the sun, our sun, and that the sun has returned to its full brightness. Grace literally saved the Earth. The Hail Mary is still in orbit. It could be filled with astrophage at any time. They ask him if you want, do you want to go home? And he's not sure yet. So,
doesn't he have a family?
No.
Oh, right. Cause time and.
Well, that and even before, he didn't have any friends. He pretty much just went.
Oh, I had thought that Stott had said, you're only saying this because you have kids that you want. Was he lying?
Sorry. His students. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, then just stay with Rocky.
Yeah, so he's everyone's either going to be really old or dead. I might as well just stay here.
Yeah.
And then the book closes with Grace going into a room that is, part of his dome. And in it are a bunch of little Iridian children. And he is teaching them science. And that is how the book ends. And it is just,
oh,
it's perfect.
That's so cute.
All right. I'm going to try to speed through the rest of this because we're already at 47 minutes.
That's fine.
My favorite moment, I feel like it's hard to pick a favorite moment out of this book because so much of it was so good. I really did, though, enjoy the part where they were translating the language and reading the audiobook and being able to actually hear the notes was really cool. Uh-huh. I peeked at, a physical copy of it, and it just, gives, the musical notes.
Sure.
It's a string of musical notes, and I'm like, that's so lame. I'm so glad I got to read the audiobook and, hear it. So that was super cool. Also, there's also a part where it's a really interesting part where they are, in order to help slow the cooling of the Earth, they are going to purposefully release greenhouse gases back into the atmosphere.
Okay.
Essentially global warming on purpose.
Well,
yeah. And it's really interesting though, because it's another example of this doing harm to, the trolley problem,
Right. Like with one invasive species, let's go get another predator invasive species to solve the first invasive species and hope nothing gets fucked in the
process. Yeah. Well, they'll eat all the astrophage and then they'll all starve. That's kind of the...
Okay.
Let's hope.
Adapt to eating something else.
That's a really interesting part too, because they are working with an environmental scientist and just seeing the awful torn of I have spent my entire life trying to keep this from happening, and now I have to make it happen or everyone's gonna die. I do want to talk about a little bit more about the whole part where they almost die, because seriously, this part, I was doing the dishes and I stopped. I just froze. And for I think it took a half hour for all of this to play out or whatever. And I just stood there at the sink. I couldn't move. I was I was so stressed. I have never been this stressed out by a book before.
Amazing.
I was it's awful, but it was so good. It was so compelling. Yeah, I thought Rocky died. I was crying at the sink because I thought he was dead. And like it was, I have not felt such emotion while reading a book in a very, very, very long time. My favorite character is obviously
Of
Rocky.
course.
Rocky is my newest hear me out.
I feel like it's not even that much of a hear me. Like, I'm on board already. But I mean, sure, convince me more.
He's just so cool. He's extremely smart. He can build literally anything. His character is just, I just felt like it was like such a perfect balance of like funny, intelligent, empathetic, like selfless. Like it was like he's just the perfect man. Rocky is the perfect man. If your man is not like Rocky,
If he doesn't have eight limbs, if he doesn't breathe ammonia, if he's not 5,000 degrees,
if he isn't 300 pounds of solid rock,
literally,
he's not the one for you.
no.
Some of my favorite Rocky lines are when he is like not quite understanding like human colloquialisms and stuff like that. Like Grace teaches him how to do a fist bump, and he starts it like when he asks for a fist bump the first time, he says, "Fist me."
Okay, sure.
And then he eventually does get to fist my bump,
That's my
which is
bump.
not great, but better than
That's
fist
so
me, that's
good.
for sure.
I'll do whatever Rocky asks me to do.
It's so Trust me though, there is a part where they talk about how
It's gone.
he no not, no 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 how
Dang
he
it.
like eats and poops and
Oh, you don't know that you want to know the proper rules.
you don't want to fist him.
I'll be the judge of
Oh
that.
my God. Anyway, he also is constantly telling Grace that he's like stupid when he doesn't sleep because Grace had to basically explain to him that when humans are exhausted, they can't think straight. And he's like, Iridians don't sleep the same way. They don't sleep as often. And so it's like, just like, he's always like, you are stupid, go sleep or
I
whatever.
love
Like,
it. I need to start incorporating that
yeah. I think at one
into my
point too,
vocab.
he says something about like, I am something space rock or something. Human is like leaky space blob or something because
Yeah, we
or he's
are.
like crying or whatever, and he's like, why are you leaking all the time? I don't know. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
The best. If yeah. Overall though, this book, I don't think I can stress enough how much I love this book. It was so good. Everything felt so balanced. The science, and the story were paired so well. I never felt like I was like, oh my God, will he just shut up about whatever? And I never felt like I couldn't understand the science that was being explained. So like that was really cool to like be like, oh, I understand what's going on. The comedic relief was always so well timed. It was never forced. It was like the whole story was compelling. Like just a really good science fiction book. I will say that I did find out recently that I guess Andy Weir is kind of a jerk. Apparently this is known amongst the community, so that's a bummer.
Yeah,
But
it happens
you know,
sometimes.
it was such a great book. I laughed, I cried. It moved me, Pixel.
Oh,
It
that's so
moved me.
sweet, Kate.
I definitely give it 5 stars out of 5 stars, or for those, if you know, 5 thumbs down out of 5 thumbs down.
Okay.
You got to see the movie.
All right. Sure.
So, talking about the movie real quick, I do want to kind of give. I'm really glad, just in general, that we are in an era of good book to screen adaptations. I feel like book to screen adaptations used to be this, like, oh my God, they're awful.
They're dog shit.
They're terrible. And I just feel like we've gotten so many good ones lately. I feel like Bridgerton does a really good job. Heated Rivalry was fantastic. This one is, I just felt like it was very faithful to the essence of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But just not as sciencey, which is okay. I don't want to hear Ryan Gosling monologuing about biology and, you know, extraterrestrial biology. That's fine. I also really loved in particular that they used practical effects instead of CGI. Rocky is, sometimes he is an animatronic type thing, like a RC, like remote controlled, but sometimes he is a puppet. They have, it's like a Jim Henson, like puppet type thing. It's pretty cool.
So somebody is fisting Rocky.
Yeah.
To like,
and he's got a stick.
You ruined it. You know that was funny and you pretended like it wasn't. How dare you?
It just felt like it had this feeling of like a very classic, like sci-fi space movie, yeah. like Star Wars and Back to
like
the Future.
70s, 80s, like that modern era.
Yes. Yeah. Like it, like that is how this movie felt. It is rated PG-13, but I feel like it's one of those movies where it's like, yeah, it's rated PG-13 because it's a little intense, but like really anybody could watch this movie.
Yeah.
Very, very reminiscent of like a Star Wars or a Back to the Future. Like maybe this isn't, you know, the best, but you know, it's whatever. It's a good movie and it's fine. We're all okay with our kids seeing
His
it.
Mom's trying to have sex with him. It's fine. It's just 80s hijinks.
I'm actually, though, like a little sad that this movie didn't come out in the summer, because this totally could have been a summer blockbuster. Like, absolutely. That is what this movie felt like. Just, it was so good. It gave me the feels. It was funny. Any changes that they made still felt right. They still felt in line with the heart of the book and the tone and everything. So like everything still fit, even though it was a little bit different. I absolutely loved it. So if you've read the book, go see the movie. If you've seen the movie, I still suggest reading the book because there is so much more in the book to explore.
Cool.
If you haven't seen the movie, go see the movie. Why are you even listening to this? Because I just spoiled the whole thing. Not sorry though. Absolutely recommend the book, recommend the movie. This is a pro Project Hail Mary podcast.
Yeah, it is.
So.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yep.
All right. That's all I have. You can find us on Instagram at Page and Pixel PC. That's all I got. So read hard,
play hard,
and fist my bum.